Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals for our afternoon session. We have five cases scheduled for submission this afternoon, two of which are scheduled for oral argument. And my name is Ann Gardner, and to my left is Justice Lee Gabriel. To my right is Justice Robert McCoy. And we're happy to have you today. I understand there are three students from Texas Wesleyan Law School here. Welcome. I hope you learned something or enjoy the afternoon anyway. Let's call the first case, which I'll ask Megan to do.
The court will now call
Irving
J. McCready et al. Versus Walter. May it please the court, this is the counsel to Arthur Rotel and Mr. John Matthew, both are the
applicants. All right, Mr. Hatcher, are you ready?
Thank you, ma'am. May it please the court, your honors, we have a very unique situation before us today in that the trial court in this particular case, and it's over some sale of some furniture, states as a matter of law that there was no evidence to support a verdict in the case, but yet awarded $32,000 in damages. Briefly, I'd like to go through the, I know y'all have read the case, but this is a sale of some personal property, some household furniture and furnishings that was under a storage facility. And admittedly, the storage people who I represent did not give the gentleman 15 days or was not sold according to the property code. But we think there's some extenuating circumstances that need to be brought out to the court in order to determine what should be done in this particular case. The case was submitted to Judge Woodlock, sitting as a judge, that he listened to the evidence, and when everybody got through, he looked at Mr. Hoover and said, "Mr. Hoover, what do you think you ought to get?" And Mr. Hoover stuttered and ran a little bit. Then he said, "Well, Judge, I think..." Well, he sued us for $97,000 for furniture that was stored that was 8 years old. Mr. Hoover stated that, well, he thinks he ought to have a third. So then the judge looks at me and says, "Mr. Hatcher, what do you think he ought to get?" I said, "Judge, I don't think they proved anything, so how can I say what they should get?" So he said, "Well, I'm going to get you out of court, awarded $32,000 in damages." We have some evidence in this case where this property was sold, and Mr. Slaughter, he says he found out about it on the 6th of August. It was sold on the 1st of August, although Mr. Slaughter was given, he was sent a certified letter on July the 15th of 07, telling him that it was going to be sold, but he failed and wouldn't pick up the letter. He said he was just too busy, and so he just didn't pick up the letter. But the property was sold on the 1st, and I think under the property code, it should have been held 15 days before it could be sold. When he found out, he called the, and also Mr. Slaughter was always late on his rent. He never paid rent on time. He was behind, he'd be behind, and in 2007, he never paid on time. And actually, he still owed the MCM $600-something, less the money that was done. But anyway, the sale was conducted, and there was only one bidder that bid on it. There were several people there, but there was one bid, and that was for $101 per bid. Mr. Salter found out about it, called the MCM. They said, "Yes, we sold it." That day, he came down to MCM to complain to him. A Mr. Lloyd Ryder is one who purchased the property. They called Mr. Ryder, and Mr. Ryder came up to the plant, or to the office where they were at, and offered to sell this property. He said he had every bit of it in a barn that there at his house. He offered to sell every bit of it back to him for $1,000. Mr. Slaughter said no. Salter said no. I don't owe $1,000. I only owe $600. So he wouldn't buy the $97,000 worth of furniture back for $1,000.
Was mitigation pled? Is that even a affirmative defense in this? He didn't mitigate his damages for buying back for $1,000?
Well, I don't think it was pled. That was the evidence, Your Honor. We didn't plead it.
Okay.
But I think that's as a matter of law, you've got to mitigate your damages, whether it's pled or not. But anyway, then Salter comes back, and he makes a second trip back, and he says that he only wants to buy a few of the items back. And I ask him on cross-examination, well, what few items did you want to buy back? And he said, well, all I wanted to buy back was what my wife wanted me to buy back as antiques. And he never stated what they were, how much they were. So I took, there was Exhibit 14 that was admitted, which was a inventory which he prepared on what it would cost him to replace. And I do know, I understand the law about replacement, that is a proper measure or way you can do damages, but if it gives you an economic gain, it shouldn't be used. And that's set out in a Supreme Court case in 2002. That's Gulf State Utilities versus Wiley Lowe, which it states, in some situations, replacement value does not properly measure the damages because it may represent an economic gain to the plaintiff. And in this case, we think it certainly was an economic gain to the plaintiff in this case. And again, he comes back. He only wants a few items of it. And, of course, Mr. Ryder said he told him he didn't want the rest of the crap, is what he told him. But anyway, that's where we're at. And if you take on Exhibit 14, and I did object to it, but in the event you do take number 14 as evidence, and if you take the antiques that he wanted back, and that was the only antiques on it, it's around, I think it's 4,000. Excuse me just a minute. $4,650. So we would ask the court to remit the damages. $32,000 is just way out of line for 8-year-old furniture. It was in a 2,000 square foot lake house. It had been in storage for around eight years. And again, we submit to you that there was not sufficient evidence to support a $32,000 verdict.
Thank you. Mr. Hoover?
May it please the court. At the beginning of this case, Your Honors, the appellants stipulated to the fact of liability that the property had not been sold according to the Texas Property Code and the contract wherein the Texas Property Code had been incorporated verbatim. The whole issue then became focused on damages. And in this case, we would ask to again refer to the Crisp versus Security National Insurance Company and progeny that was that I had cited to in my brief, that the court in this case did not agree that the value of the household items was worth $97,000. Again, that was based upon the testimony of Mr. Salter, and according to Crisp and Progeny, the owner of the property is a suitable witness to testify about the value of household goods.
We're wanting
the judgment to be sustained.
You want 30-something that...
Yes, Your Honor.
But
yes.
You agree that nobody testified to that.
To test...
It's just a figure that the lawyer came up with, basically trying to kind of settle it, right?
Well, my interpretation of the court's question is it was wanting a range of punishment. And it had a range... a range of... damages.
But y'all need evidence of the range, not just lawyers talking what you think, what you want. And I'm struggling here.
Mr. Salter testified to the 97,000 as being the value of the property.
That's the value you placed on it, yes. And
how do you think that the court could award that amount that he did, the 32,000.
Yes, based upon the age of the property. The property at the time it was sold was 7 years old. It had been used in the lake house for 3 years, had been stored in storage for 4 years. At that point, the judge was asking for argument to it, and that was my argument was to the judge, based upon the testimony of the age, yes, because the court was going toward that direction. The court was going toward a direction stating it was too old to be worth $97,000. But the trier of fact, yes, that's correct, but the trier of fact can consider an amount within the range of punishment. And the court,
the range is 90-something to what?
Well, the court referred to $1,000.
Okay, and the evidence that it was $1,000 was that the guy that bought it wanted $1,000 for it?
That's correct. That was the only evidence presented by the appellants to counter the evidence presented by Mr. Salter as to the value of the property.
Did Mr. Salter testify to any information that he based his value of $97,000 on?
Yes, he did. He testified that he, during the course of the case, in trying to research a value to recover that property, he testified that he could not find a market to recover the type and quality of property that he had lost. He had testified that the only way he could determine the value was to go back to the places where he had actually bought the property, and those were at higher quality stores such as Dillard's and some specialty shops, and also reviewing his receipts and also there were two other witnesses who testified as to helping him pack the property. They testified to the quality and condition at the time it was packed and stored.
Thank you. couldn't find an 8-year-old Sony television set, so I'm going to say that it's worth moving. I mean, that's your client's burden to go out and then say that, you know, I've looked around and 8-year-old Sony televisions have worked about this, and my opinion, mine is worth something. Not just, I just couldn't find it, so it must be worth moving.
Well, according to Chris Maprogeny, it's actual value to the owner because of the uniqueness of household goods. The courts, throughout that entire line of cases, states that it's very hard to determine value. That value regarding household goods and depreciation is very slow because.
Okay, that's a unique item. It may be a value to you if you were with work. But, you know, my sofa, is that what you're talking about? My sofa and my end table and my lamp, I mean, what's unique about that that has some value for the owner, separate apart from the same value it has for any other number of people?
Well, these cases state that the uniqueness is up to the owner. The stuff wasn't purchased at Sears. Well, there are, for instance, much of the furniture. Mr. Salter testified that much of the furniture was purchased from specialty stores because it was of its artistic or decorative aspects, nomenclature that was used in a lake house, a rustic.
Thank you. Got to have something unique about it, like it was the portrait of my mother, and it's only one. That's why it has a certain value to me. Or I had framed a document where my grandfather was brought into the country. There's something that's unique and has a personal value. He's the only one that can value that, because he's the only one that has a value to me.
Well, I think, Mr. Justice, I think you're getting into sentimental value. And that sentimental value is not the proper damages for household goods unless it's specifically pled that. That household goods generally, this line of cases refers to everyday basic household goods, and it's the actual value to the owner. Well, my response to that is that the testimony from Mr. Salter during the trial is that his wife had become sick, and that they had sold the lake house and they were planning on building another one, and that he wanted to, once it was built, he was going to, that's why it was stored in Gainesville, because of the nearby lake, and that he was going to build another house and use that same furniture for the lake house, for the new lake house. Well, the court states that during that exchange between the court and the two lawyers, the court refers to the age of it because he asks the other attorney what its response is to the value and the for the defendants at that point. And Mr. Hatcher made no statement. He said that he didn't make any response to the value. There was no evidence presented to counter what Salter had testified to. So in the court during that exchange referred to the age of the property. It stated there's no way I'm going to award $97,000 because of the age of the property. that it was 7 years old, so I don't believe it to be worth that. And he also stated, but it's not worth $1,000.
The truth is, y'all mediated the case in chambers. Unfortunately, you mediated it after the fact.
Well, no, that's not true. There've been no offers now.
Argument. What happened to the counterclaim for the delinquent storage fees? I don't see that it was disposed of by the judgment.
The judgment that came from the court was judgment for the plaintiff for $32,000, and that was it. Was that we?
I know it's not a lot of money in the context of this. Is that disputed that it was owed?
No. We claimed an offset.
Kind of went away or something?
We claimed an offset. But aside from that, I have, other than what's in my brief, I have nothing special to add. My appearance here was to try and answer the questions of the court.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hager. Hatcher, you have the
phone? I think y'all have answered all of my questions, and I really don't have a rebuttal.
Well, thank you both very much for your arguments and for coming to Fort Worth to appear before us.
And we have a very large order out there. We're talking to the voters as you walk out the door.
We will talk, okay? I promise. Thank you.
Okay, in the meantime, your case is submitted, and we will issue an opinion in due course. If you do have to settle, speak with us too. You might let us know by letter. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. May we be excused?
You're excused. Thank you.